As many of you know, Abraham and Naomi have been with us for just over a year. I think it was just before Christmas last year that they came and were welcome to snow, something they were not used to. Now I think they're kind of getting used to it.
Yeah.
Well, let's have a word of prayer for Abraham before he brings a message. Lord, we just want to pray your blessing on Abraham. Pray that you would give him a clear mind and clear thought in what you would have him present to us, London Christian Fellowship today, and Lord, that you would just speak to our minds and our hearts through him, and again, just bless him for the service that he's given you. We pray this in your name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and Merry Christmas. It is a day after the Christmas, and but the Christmas mood is still on. In my country, Kenya, when we talk of a Christmas, it's like a Christmas is the whole month of December, starting from when schools close and visiting and merrymaking, and so the whole month is Christmas. So, and even tomorrow and the day after, it will still be Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning and to have time to learn what God is doing in our lives and what he plans to do for each one of us. This morning I have a message which is about Christmas, but it is an attempt to go beyond just the Christmas, is to understand who is Christ and why we celebrate Christmas, or why we celebrate his birth and his coming to the earth. The title of the message is The Identity and the Job Description of Jesus Christ. This has been a great week for me and my family, and I hope for each one of you. We have had people who have been able to wish us well. We have received Christmas cards. We have received best wishes through emails, text messages, and even Christmas gifts. So it has been an awesome time to really get to see the overwhelming love of people, friends, and the fellow Christians. And I hope you have also had your own share of gifts and cards and so on. But you think about this. Suppose you have been given gifts by your friends, but you did not care to rip them open and to see what is inside there. Just the other day, I think it was on Friday, there is somebody who gave us a precious gift. I won't mention what a gift it was, because they are part of the congregation here. But it was so precious to us. And after we received the gift, within a few minutes, we ripped it open, and lo and behold, we looked inside and we said, wow, this is what we have been praying for and waiting for, and here it is. We opened it and were so thrilled, so happy. So suppose you were given a gift and you did not care to rip it open, and you did not even care to make use of it. How would it be? Unfortunately, this is the situation in our world, that Christ was sent by God, but not many people in the world dare to rip him open to see who he is and to really know who he is and what he's meant to do for each one of them. When you read the papers and you get to listen to the news, the Christmas mood is all over the whole world. In Europe, in Africa, in Asia, in China, even among us people who are not known to to have Christians, or even among people who are not Christians. But unfortunately, for most people in the world, they celebrate the birth of Christ. They celebrate, but they do not know who Christ is. And I would liken them to somebody, as I have said, who receives a Christmas gift, but they don't care to rip it open and to see what is there. They may talk about the Christmas, and mostly for some people it's only once in a year, but they never unwrap or look inside to see what the gift is, let alone making use of it. What a pity. And may God have mercy on each one of us and the world, that they may be able to know who Christ is. As Christians, we have a responsibility. We are called upon to rip open the gift of Christ, know who he is, follow him, and make him known to others. Indeed, the Great Commission is all about getting to rip open Christ, know him, and share him with others, making him known to other people. But to clearly know him and to effectively make him known to the others, we must have the true identity of who Christ is and the work he is supposed to accomplish in our lives and in the lives of human beings. God the Father's desire for each one of us and for everyone else in the whole world is to rip open the gift of his Son and to know who he is, his identity, and his job description. And I want us to spend time to really know who is Christ, why he actually came, and what is his job description. Because this is the only way we can be able to rip him open, get to know who he is, and get to really appropriate the blessings that he has for us and indeed for the whole world. Now, when you look at the identity and the job description of Christ, we find that it was announced long before he was born. Let's turn together to Genesis. His identity and job description was announced long before he was born. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. This is what the Bible says. It's after the fall of man. God speaking to the serpent, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. The seed of the woman, talking about Christ, how he would suffer and how he would die. We get to understand, we get a glimpse of who he is and what he was coming to accomplish. Then you move on to Deuteronomy chapter 18, talking about the coming of Christ. The Deuteronomy 18, verse 15 to 19. Coming of the Messiah, coming of Christ, the Lord your God will raise for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear, according to all you desired of the Lord your God in Horeb in the day of assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, nor let me see his great fire anymore, lest I die. Verse 18, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brethren, And will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him. And it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Talking about the coming of Christ. And you can go on and on. Isaiah is talking about the coming of Christ in the chapter 7, verse 14. It talks about Emmanuel, God with us. The child will be born. He will be with us. It is God with us. God identifying with mankind. God incarnated, coming to identify with man. The same Isaiah in chapter 9, verse 6 to 8, it talks about who he will be. And I want us to turn there again. We have looked at this in the past. Indeed, it is part of the Christmas message. Isaiah chapter 9. Yes, verse 6 and onwards. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over the kingdom, to order it and establish with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Talking about Christ, that he would be wonderful. He will be counselor. He would be indeed mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and that his increase of the government shall have no end, and so on and so forth. His birth and his description, who he is and what he would accomplish, was talked about long before he was born. And then when you come later to the time just before the conception, Mary being told by the angel that she would bear a son. Luke chapter 1, verse 31 to 33, it talks about who he would be. If we may turn there, Luke chapter 1. Verse 31 to 33, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. So here he is referred to as Jesus, which means Savior, Yehoshua, the Savior. He is also called that he would be great. Great, indeed he would be. Son of the Highest, Son of God, God himself coming to be with his people. He will be a ruler. He will ascend to the throne of David. He will be a ruler. He will be a king. He will reign forever. And he will have an everlasting kingdom. This is the Jesus we celebrate. This is the Jesus who is not understood by many people. Yet, his identity and his job description was made very, very clear by God the Father. We also have his identity and job description given just before his birth. Just before his birth, by the angel, God speaking through the angel. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. He is said to be Emmanuel. He would be God with us. God with us. And that he would also be the Savior. God with us. Coming to dwell in the midst of his people. Coming to identify with his people, coming to tabernacle with his people, him becoming man, that he may be able to redeem mankind from sin. His identity and his job and description, what he would do, is also given at the time of his birth, at the point of his birth. Look at Matthew chapter 2. Very interesting. And yet, the whole world seems not to understand this. Chapter 2, verse 6. Matthew recalling the whole prophecy. But you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Who will shepherd my people Israel. So he is referred to as a ruler. He rules. He would rule. And that he would be a shepherd. Ruling in the hearts and lives of human beings. That is what he's supposed to actually do. And to shepherd. And you recall later in his ministry, he would say, I am the great shepherd. He is the shepherd of each one of us. He is the shepherd of human beings. And I would that God would help us to identify and to know him as such. But his identity and job description is also given at the time of his childhood, in his childhood. Move on to the same chapter, verse 23. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. He shall be called a Nazarene. Now, Nazareth was a small town. It was a contemptible, a despised town. And nothing good would really be expected out of that small town. And this is where Christ came from. He was a Nazarene. He came from this place. He was contemptible. He was despised. Nothing good would be expected out of a place like this. Not even the Messiah. The Messiah Jews were looking forward to his coming. They didn't expect him to come from this place. And indeed, the same words are echoed in Psalm 22, verse 6. But this is the very Christ who was born to save mankind. And no wonder Isaiah echoes this when he looks at the birth of Christ and who he would be and what he would accomplish. If we may turn to Isaiah chapter 53. Chapter 53. Christ being born. Christ coming from a place where he would be least expected. Isaiah chapter 53 from verse 1. Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness. And when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. You see, Christ was not just despised at the point of being put on the cross. It was right from the beginning point. Because they didn't expect him to come from a place like Nazareth, and they did not expect him to be the kind of Messiah they were looking for. But this is the Messiah. This is the one who would come and save mankind. Luke chapter 2, verse 30 to 32. helps us also to see his identity and job description as described by Luke at his childhood. He is said to be that he would be the light to bring the revelation to Gentiles and glory to Israel. This is the one that they were expecting, the light to bring the revelation to Gentiles and glory to Israel. His identity also is also announced at the commencement of his public ministry. At his baptism, when the Father affirmed him to be really who he is, he said, "This is my beloved Son." At the time of his of the start of his ministry, at the inauguration, as recorded in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, it's explained very clearly his ministry and his mission, that the Spirit of God is upon him and has anointed him to set the captives free and to do all that he was sent to actually accomplish. And you see, he is reminding his audience that he is not only the promised one, but he is the Messiah, he is the anointed one. And you see, when you look at the scriptures, anointing in the Old the New Testament times was not just done to anybody. The anointing was to set apart somebody for a ministry. Priests were anointed, kings were also anointed, and the prophets too, being set apart for the ministry. And Christ comes and says that he has come to fulfill that scripture because he is anointed. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, anointed for a purpose, to set the captives free. And this is his work. His job description is given there. And we see this, his job description and his identity also being announced at the end of his public ministry, when he is getting to the point of finishing his work. In John chapter 19, verse 30, if we may turn there, John chapter 19, John chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. The emphasis here, he said, "It is finished." What was finished? He had accomplished the work of redemption the Father has sent him to do. And remember earlier on in chapter 4, verse 34, he had made it very clear that his food was to do the work of his Father and to finish it. To do it and to finish it. And now here he is saying, "I have finished it. It is finished." Focusing on the Father's work. And you know, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, the scripture said, remind us that the work of Christ and his job did not just end when he died. The scripture say that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. He ever liveth to make intercession for us as he sits on the right hand of God the Father. He ever lives to make intercession for us, a confirmation of not only his ministry when he was on this earth in human body, but also his continuing ministry right now as he sits at the right hand of God the Father. What are we seeing with all this, or in all this, that the identity and the job description of Christ is very clear in the scriptures? We are saying that this is the Jesus whose birth we celebrate. This is the Jesus who came for a mission, and his identity is very clear in the scriptures right from the beginning. His job was cut by his Father. It is his Father, the one who sent him. He is the one who cut his job very clearly, and the description is very clear. And there was no ambiguity in his identity and his work that he came to accomplish here on earth. It's very clear. And in my assessment, the problem is not with him. The problem is with us, the humanity. We are yet to know who he is and why he came, despite the fact that God has made it very clear in scriptures. The desire of God the Father is that humankind may know his Son and appropriate his ministry for the human beings. And the challenge for human beings is that whether we shall be able to allow him to be who he is. Because as we have seen in the scriptures, it's very clear that Christ is Emmanuel, God with us, God incarnate. He is wonderful. He is Counselor. He is Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. His increase of his government, there shall be no end. His name is Jesus, the Savior. He is great. He is Son of the Highest. He is the ruler in the hearts and minds of people, and he's supposed to rule in the hearts of as many as they receive him. He is supposed to reign forever. He is the ruler, shepherd, Messiah, the anointed one, the Lord God. Yes, he is a Nazarene. He is contempted. He is despised. But he was rejected for our own good. And the scriptures say that he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement that brought our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. That is the Christ we celebrate. That is his description, which is very clear from the scriptures. And God's choice for mankind is this Jesus. The way of salvation is through him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except by him. He is the light to bring the salvation and the revelation to Gentiles and to all human beings. He is God's beloved Son, the anointed opener of the eyes of the blind, the light in darkness. And therefore, in view of this, at the cross, he said, it is finished, accomplishing the work of the redemption the Father had sent him to do. And he ever liveth to make intercession for each one of us. And the question to the whole world, and I think we can help the world to know this, is what is our response to Christ's ministry? And are we, and is the world ready to accept and appropriate the ministry of Christ, allowing him to minister to us, to the humankind? You know, it is very possible for us to be caught up in the worldly spirit of Christmas, like it is happening in the whole world, while forgetting that Christmas is about the coming of Christ and appropriating the ministry he brought to us. The Bible indeed gets to challenge us and challenges the mankind, as many as have come to know Christ, to be separate from the world and to come out of the world and to be holy. At the same time, we are admonished to be the light to many who do not know Christ yet, so that they can be able to know him, so that people will not just be involved in the whole spirit of the Christmas without really knowing who Christ is. We should be the light to those people who do not know Christ, and to help them, not just join them in just being Mary and without really, getting to help them to know who Christ is. You see, if a Christmas just ends at this point where every year the whole world just celebrates a Christmas and they forget what a Christmas is all about, I think it will be true what the scriptures say, that we are to be pitied. If every year the whole world will just celebrate the Christmas and they don't know who Christ is. Because God would want his son to be known by all. Back to the analogy I gave about the Christmas gift, there are many people who talk about a Christmas. They are happy about a Christmas, but they have not had opportunity to reopen the Christmas gift that God has given us. You see, we must embrace the full gospel and not take a part of it. And we need to let the world know that they cannot just take part of the gospel and not the whole gospel. They need to know who Christ is. And as Christians, the challenge we have is we must avoid and help people also to avoid piecemeal approach or the cafeteria method of taking what fits and suits us. Christianity is about taking and accepting the full gospel and allowing God to fill us. That way we will be in a position to be faithful witnesses of Jesus to others who do not know Christ in a personal way. And it is our responsibility to be a light to them. Jesus Christ, identity and job description is very clear, at least from scriptures, from God the Father. And we have seen it was given, and it is very, very clear. We are not the ones who are giving him the job description. God the Father has given him. And I think it is important, therefore, for the world to humbly allow Christ to do his work in the world and in our lives as per the job description given by the Father. Let us accept him and his ministry in our lives and in the world today. It is God who gave him the job to do among mankind, and it is only fair for mankind to allow him to do it to completion. The Father trusts him, and therefore, who are we not to allow him to accomplish this work? He says he loves his food, which is to do the will and the work of the Father who sent him, and to complete it, to accomplish it. When you look at the story of Christmas, we see some men called the wise men. If indeed these wise men, who we are not told whether they were religious, if these people were wise enough to pay homage to the King of the Jews and to identify him as king, who are we? And indeed the world, why can't we be able to be wise enough to know Christ and to do what he expects of us? Like Pilate in Mark 15 verse 12, he asked the question, what will I do with this Jesus? The question to the world this morning is, what shall we do with Jesus? What is the world doing with Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? You know, the crowd that had gathered to agitate for the crucifixion of Jesus, when they were asked by Pilate, what shall I do with this Jesus? Their response was, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. And the crowd today seems to have nothing to do with him either. They are crucifying him, I mean, somehow, because they have nothing to do with him. The world can feed, can be merry, and be happy about Christmas, but at the end of the day, they will have nothing to do with him. Like, you know, like we have been here now for 1 year, and we thank God for the hospitality of Americans and so on. But it is a pity that when you look at the schools, the schools, there's, I mean, the kids cannot be allowed to pray openly. In government offices, you cannot be able to openly proclaim your faith. And yet, this is a nation where at Christmas, everybody is very happy, they exchange gifts and so on. Yet they don't want to proclaim, to talk about this one they are openly getting to really celebrate the time of the Christmas. And I think the challenge for us as a Christians is how can we be able to take this light of the gospel among a people who on outside they seem to be very happy about Christmas and so on, but they do not know the person who is celebrated. You know, the mobs were fed by Jesus. They followed him. They ate bread. But these are the very people who said that he should be crucified. These are the very people who shouted, "Crucify him, crucify him." And I pray for each one of us and for everybody else that our response should be, let us rip open this gift that God has given to us. We open it, get to know it, and get to share this gift with other people, because this is the only way we can be able to help people who do not know Christ in a personal way, that we may help them to rip open the gift of Christ and be able to make use of it. Because it's not enough to rip open and to see, what is there, but it's to make use of that gift. And this gift of Christ is given to the whole world, and we have a responsibility to unwrap it and also get to help other people to unwrap their gifts and be able to know Christ in a personal way. Praise the Lord. Shall we pray, please? Lord, we want to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our prayer and our desire is that you'd help us to really know the ministry of Christ in our lives and in the world. And that, Lord, you help us to aid the rest of the world to rip open this precious gift of Christ so that they may know him in a personal way, so that as they celebrate, they are going to celebrate a Savior who has done a new work and a great work in their lives. We thank you and we glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.